The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my very good friend, Ray Allen. Ray's been with us all week on the other side of the glass. Ray and I, of course, were together for many years here on KVOI. Then Ray was bumped up to executive positions. And so Bob Dio was our engineer-producer. Now, I shouldn't say was, still is. Bob's just away for a week. But together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Friday, January 11th, 2019. We're live during the week. Right here, during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's trusted local news and talk station. We have our worldwide live listening podcasts of pretty much every show we've done over the last 8 full years. Our anniversary was last week, so we're into year 9 now with the radio project. All of my shows at buckmastershow.com. Of course, you can follow us on Facebook. I have a very active presence there, not so much on Twitter, trying to do better with Twitter and trying to post every day. Tim Steller is here, and I know, Tim, you
don't do it. Take it from me, man. You don't want to start.
You do a lot
Once
of
you
Twitter.
Start, you can't
I
stop.
I know you do a lot of the Twitter thing. I'm trying to get better with it. Our media partners, I want to say thank you. TucsonSentinel.com, Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, Tucson Media Group and their portfolio of Tucson-based publications, including Inside Tucson Business and Tucson Weekly, all of them supporting our program. They have live links to my show on their homepage of their websites. Our Friday Focus interview today, Fletcher McCusker is with us, chair of the Rio Nuevo Governing Board. Fletcher, how are you?
I'm great. Happy 2019.
Yeah, here we go. You look great, by the way, losing 40 pounds, and you feel better.
I do feel better. I'm aspiring to look like Tim.
Yeah, Tim. Tim still looks really great. Rio Nuevo is a tax increment finance district known as a TIF, funded by a share of state sales tax dollars, held accountable to the Arizona State Legislature for the use of those funds. It was 20 years ago, Fletcher, this year.
I had forgotten about that until you reminded me, but indeed that proposition was passed in 1999.
Yeah, the approval of the creation of the district, allowing the funds to be reinvested into the community to create a dynamic city center, and it's something I think we've certainly moved forward with. By the way, Fletcher's latest project, he's CEO of the UA of what is called UA Venture Capital. He's the creator and former CEO of Tucson-based Providence Service Corporation and Symphonia Healthcare, a Tucson-based healthcare business. Both of those were created by Fletcher, and you've now spun them off, and they're still doing well, right?
Doing great and remain Tucson-based.
Okay, there you go. And UA Venture Capital, what is that in a nutshell?
We're investing growth capital in faculty-led discovery. So this is relatively new to our university. Historically, if you're a U of A faculty, you did not benefit from your invention. We've changed that now, and we've invested in 6 U of A-led projects and more coming. So, you know, huge changes with President Robbins, and, you know, we're really looking forward to being able to introduce the world to some of the activity on campus.
Okay, 20-year anniversary. What did Tucson downtown look like in 1999, and what does it look like today?
Well, Tim can tell you, in 99, it was boarded up.
Did you come here in 99, Tim?
No, well, actually, this week is my 22nd anniversary, and I was, so 97, I was shipped out downtown in the summer of 97 to our long-standing La Placita Village office. So, so I worked down there for 5-6 years in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Okay,
but
so
literally everything was boarded up, you know. The department stores that we grew up, you know, Hockamies and Seal Petersons and Steinfelds, they had long vacated. All the stores, if you go back and look at a Yellow Pages book from the 40s and 50s, there was like 100 merchants in our downtown. By 99, 2000, they were literally boarded up. And the Rio Nuevo proposition, that was Proposition 400 exactly 20 years ago, was to take the new sales tax and reinvest that. That's where the word incremental comes from, tax incremental financing. So the theory is we would create new activity, new sales tax, we would reinvest that sales tax and create additional activity. Well, we now know those first 10 years were basically wasted.
But in the last year or two, I had the sense that the Rio Nuevo project, the projects that you're focusing on, or your direction has shifted some. Maybe I'm wrong about
no,
that.
No, it's quite dramatic, actually. Yeah. I mean, our entire focus, and consistent with, I think, our legislative mandate, is to enhance sales tax-producing properties. So we're very focused on retail, restaurant, food and beverage, hotel properties, and occasionally a primary employer. You know, we are the ones that brought Caterpillar to downtown, and Hexagon, and, you know, some of the other companies that are looking at basing here. So, you know, this isn't an original idea. If you look at Austin and San Diego and Portland, you know, other cities that revitalized, you know, we have a similar trend, an early focus on food and entertainment.
Yeah, the restaurants led the way.
Restaurants led the way. And now you're beginning to see the residential.
Mm-hmm. And office?
Office, this 12th, was just approved by the Board of Supervisors. You know, it'll be 150,000 square foot of brand new Class A office space, which we haven't seen in downtown in a really long time. But what's really intriguing about it, like you see in many cities now, Kansas City, Nashville, the bottom two floors, Bill, will be retail. Mm-hmm. So it's almost 60,000 square feet of you know, high-level retail, and then 400 parking spaces. So this becomes pretty much a self-contained building where you can, you know, go shop, eat, park, work. We don't see any residential there, but there's residential developing all around it.
So let's back up and talk about what we're referring to there. This is the J.E. Dunn
development? Yeah, this is 75 East Broadway. This is the county lot directly across the street from TEP. So it's a, you know, couple acre surface parking lot. County's owned it for a really long time. We are acquiring the property from the county, and then we released a proposal just to see who was interested in developing, and that's when we met J.E. Dunn.
Right, and so in total, you'll have the plan now. Previously, it was to be like a 300-foot tower of 20 stories or so. Now it's
12.
12 total. So that's 2 retail, 4 parking, and 6 office. Is that about
pretty
right?
Much exactly? Yeah. So okay. They did not see the office demand that they thought they would see, and we've seen people in town looking for stuff of that size, but they want it tomorrow, not 2 years from now. So they've kind of had to downsize the office piece of it. So, you know, still 150,000 square feet is as big as anything downtown.
Mm-hmm. If you had to put a number over the last 10 years on economic development, what do you think this whole downtown thing has generated? Billions of dollars?
Over $2 billion, yeah.
$2 billion. How about hotel sector? Let's talk about that.
Well, the AC Marriott has changed the game for downtown. We're now on the radar for the Hilton, for the Marriott, for the Hyatt. There's 3 Hilton properties coming into the downtown core, 2 more Marriott properties. The Hyatt's in town, other hotel operators. So it's kind of a gold rush right now, Bill, to look at, you know, get in while you can still afford the vacant land. And we'll see something in the neighborhood of 700-800 beds come up in the next year.
I remember when Mayor Walkup was talking about a downtown hotel, and that was something like that was kind of the big goal, to really get a downtown hotel. There was talk about maybe the city should get into the hotel business. Mm-hmm. Phoenix went that route.
That's the Sheraton. It was catastrophic. These 800-bed hotels are just bankrupt. What we see developing now are the smaller 100-bed,
kind of
110 boutique hotels,
niche,
different brands, franchised-owned, not government-owned and operated. So, you know, you'll probably never see a 1,000-bed convention center kind of hotel, but you know, I think you're going to see maybe 8 or 10 of these boutique properties.
I've been, you may know, I have an office. The office I work in is downtown on 1 East Broadway, so we really see a lot of this development going on around us. I've had a growing, gnawing concern that as property prices increase, rents increase, that that's going to drive out some of the, I guess what I'd call downscale business, businesses that are not catering to the middle class and up.
You wrote about that on Facebook.
I wrote about that. Now,
it was a particular restaurant.
There was a particular business that closed, Shot in the Dark Cafe. I think that has its own individual characteristics that may not be exactly related to this problem. But do you see that as a potential downside of this good development?
It's a mixed blessing for sure. When we moved downtown, when Providence moved downtown in 2010, you could rent anything around us for $6 a square foot. The rent today starts at $27 a square foot. So, you know, it's substantially more expensive to be downtown. And, of course, that requires a higher revenue rate, a higher per meal cost. You know, the smaller cafes, the diners, you know, aren't going to survive in that kind of environment. Mm-hmm. So hopefully what happens is as downtown becomes more robust is that the fringes pick up some of these things, places like Five Points and North on Stone and, you know, even East on Broadway. So you still have within walking distance some lower priced options. But downtown proper is going to become San Diego. I mean, it's just you can see it headed in that direction.
All right. We're going to pause right here. Tim, you know what I'm going to talk about.
If it's not about pastries, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, you know I'm going to talk about my favorite bakery in town. This is something you probably need to stay away from, Fletcher, after losing 40 pounds. But not, probably not. I mean, everybody can have a treat occasionally. My favorite bakery is Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They do such a great job with all those fine European crafted breads, like the rustic bread. I love that on the turkey sandwich that they do. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Go to their website, monasdanishbakery.com, or go to my website, buckmastershow.com. A link there, not only to Mona's, but a couple of dozen or so partners who support what we do here during the noon hour each weekday. And so we're very thankful for them. We'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 Ocean and Beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2, tours daily, biosphere2.org. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To learn more, please visit rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is Buckmaster, the Friday Focus interview today. Fletcher McCusker, the chair of the Rio Nuevo Board. Tim Steller is here. Tim is a columnist for the Arizona Daily Star, and we've been talking about downtown. We talked about how some new office space is going to be coming along, about five hotel developments. Restaurant scene kind of just is sort of playing out the way it's going to be, right? Supply and demand.
It's market-driven, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. So what area needs help?
Well, one of the things that's interesting that's happening, is it's very young, is the whole innovation idea. You know, universities launched a new incubator in the old Roy Place, the Walgreens building called Arizona Forge that will house startup companies. Startup Tucson, of course, is based downtown. We're seeing with places like Connect and other initiatives, kind of young people who might have used to move to Portland are now hanging around downtown Tucson.
So, what's the attraction for them by hanging around?
Well, it's inexpensive. I mean, if you look at the other, if you want to go start up a company, Tucson is probably the cheapest place to do that right now in the country. And then you've got the university and the research capabilities, and now we're beginning to see venture capital trickle into Tucson. So the chemistry's right for an Austin-like kind of tech environment where you've got young startup companies, people coming out of companies like Icogen or Raytheon, you know, that want to start their own company. And that's really relatively new for us. And that energy seems also focused downtown.
Let's go to the live line real quickly. Matt's been holding patiently. Go ahead, Matt. You're with Fletcher McCusker.
Yeah, Fletcher, first of all, thank you for the work you do with Rio Nuevo. I think it's made a huge difference. The impact's incalculable. But like you were just talking about, my question is, you've been the only person, you've created two major companies out of Tucson, Providence and Sinfonia. What do we need to do? Do you envision a time when Tucson becomes associated with like a Dell or a company that we start and becomes as big as a Microsoft in Seattle, or what industry will it come from? What are you seeing with U of A Ventures? Thank you. Bye.
Great questions. I think we will see a unicorn or two come out of Tucson. The big part of the issue, the challenge we had raising companies here was raising money, and you have to look elsewhere to do that. And, you know, there's three new funds have started in Tucson. We have others looking. So once you can kind of get your seed money together with a little luck and timing, you know, I think you'll see a big company develop here. It's going to be in tech or semiconductor or biohealth or, you know, something that we're famous for, optics. You know, those are the kind of things I think that are developing, and I will think you'll see something big happen in the next 4 or 5 years.
I've been wondering about, to go back to this thing about prices and such, Anton, you all have incentives of a sort that you use when you promote developments downtown or help developments occur downtown, right?
Yeah, the biggest one's the tax rebate. So we will give you back some of your sales tax to help you finance and grow your business. We've also put cash into startup, retail especially. We've done short-term loans. We have a lot of tools, Tim, that we can help a developer. And we don't see that backing off. I would tell you we're probably less than half of the way through what we would view as our mission. That was part of the reason we wanted an extension. So we've probably got another 5 years of granting those kind of incentives to really fill out the downtown.
Why are they needed at this stage when you've already had such a positive effect on downtown and it's really taken off at this stage?
The big companies compete, and Austin offers incentives, and Alabama offers incentives, and so does Minneapolis, and so does Denver. Denver's incredibly aggressive. So if we're not at least at the table, we'll get passed over by these big developers. J.E. Dunn would not be here except for some of the incentives that we provided to them. Caterpillar wouldn't be here except for the incentives that we provided them. So, we're in the incentive business until we've kind of maxed out our geography. Rio Nuevo is limited by our geographic boundaries. So at some point, we will be built out. And then the rest of the state can have the incentive argument. There are some people, Supervisor Miller's crowd, who believe no one should ever get a tax incentive. Yeah, but I think we can tell you, and the legislature agreed, that without our incentives, these projects wouldn't have happened.
Is there an end date to the Rio Nuevo? You talked about an extension. What are the...
It's now 2035. It was 2025, and the legislature granted us a 10-year extension.
And so, what is the footprint to up Broadway? We don't talk a lot about way to the east.
It's a dog bone that starts at the base of A Mountain, encompasses all of downtown, then runs down the Broadway corridor all the way to Park Place Mall. So that's the reason we engaged in the so-called Sunshine Mile. That is actually in the Rio Nuevo district. The widening was going to tear those properties down. We're going to reinvest in them and convert them to what? Retail.
Tim, wasn't cultural attractions a big part of the early talking?
The very beginning.
On the west side?
It's important to remember that was what was on the ballot. Did people still have this discussion? So we approved a set of developments that were on the ballot. Over time, Rio Nuevo, and a lot of them didn't occur. Over time, Rio Nuevo transformed, basically, right?
Yeah, well, the legislature seized it from the city. In those days, this was a city-led initiative, and it was about cultural and historic assets and museums and a science center, and that's what resonated with the voters. Once they blew that $250 million, the legislature's options were to terminate it or seize control. Mm-hmm. They chose the latter, and they're the ones that changed the mission.
Yeah, but that also has the effect, if I'm not mistaken, of making it hard to impossible for you to engage in projects that aren't tax generating, some of these cultural projects.
Right. It's really challenging. We've tried to carry the message that if you can give me a dribble of retail, we can find a way to do something that's non-commercial. But we still are looking for an ROI.
Mm-hmm. But as far as cultural attractions, what might fit into something like that?
The West Side is the challenge for all of us. This is the original Origin Heritage Park, where the Convento and all that was going to go. And there's just no way the legislature – I mean, I serve at the pleasure of the president. I don't have a term. I could be fired tomorrow. And I guarantee you, if we started building parks, that they'd be looking for a new board. So we're trying to find a way to balance some commercial activity with some cultural activity. We're doing that at the Presidio. We can do that on the west side. And to some extent, we're doing that along Broadway. We're going to relocate those turn-of-the-century bungalows. But they're going to become retail. That's the only way.
You said you serve at the pleasure of the president of the Senate. Is
correct.
That what?
Okay. Oh, wasn't President Trump? I thought it was President Trump.
You have to clarify these things. Yes.
No. Speaking of that area, one of the big projects that you've had in years past that you awarded was the arena site, which is along I-10. East of the freeway, right in downtown. there's not a lot of visible progress there. I recall there were some sort of deadlines that Nord Generations, the selected developer, had to meet.
A year away from the penalty.
Okay, and so what is happening?
You'd have to ask Alan Norville. Okay. You know, it's his project. He acquired that. We've seen different versions of ideas. Mm-hmm. You're right. There's nothing hard. There's been no permits applied for. Our penalty is monetary. Mm-hmm. You know, so we can't make somebody develop, but we did include in that sale a $2 million penalty.
We haven't talked about sports, the component of how is the whole Tucson Convention Center and sports, how's that all working?
Last year, 520,000 people visited our convention center, which was nearly obsolete 5 years ago. 150,000 of those fans are hockey fans. It's made a huge difference to our arena. And I think that's what attracted Coach Guy and arena football. You know, it's a smaller game schedule, but I think he's as optimistic. It seats about 7,000 people for a sporting event. Football plays in the exact same dimensions as the hockey arena.
Arena football.
Yeah, so indoor arena football is coming to Tucson.
Yeah, what's the date on that? When does the season start?
They're going to play starting the spring of 19. So they'll start spring practice, I think, in March.
And we haven't talked about the Fox, which has really been a catalyst for downtown. We're talking about cultural. How's the Fox doing?
They had their best year ever last year.
Right.
Best year and the Rialto, too. They both had the best attendance, the most revenue. They're both profitable, which they weren't a few years ago. So I think they separated themselves in genre, but they're both equally attractive.
You know, I know you don't try to, well, you try to stay away from the political stuff going on at the state capitol, but we had David Bradley, the minority leader of the Senate, on the show yesterday. Tim, you were with me last Friday. We had the new Senate president, Karen Fan of Prescott, and everybody seems to feel like this might be a legislative session where there'd be a little more cross-aisle participation. Are you getting that sense?
We will find out. We've tried to be as bipartisan as
right.
We can. We needed the Republican majority, obviously, for our extension. We had to appeal to their conservative ideology. We had to show that we're economically viable. At the same time, you know, we need Democratic support. So we did a nice job, Rio Nuevo, of kind of staying in the middle. So you know, if anyone's looking to us as an example, I think you can have a bipartisan effort.
All right, Fletcher McCusker, thank you very much for being with us. Good luck with what's the next big piece for you this coming
the
up?
The TCC. Here. We're going to totally remodel the whole campus.
Of the Tucson Convention Center?
Yeah.
How big a deal is that?
It's $70 million.
Well, that's nothing. It's a footnote.
All right. Fletcher, thank you. Good to
thank
see you.
Thank you, Tim. Bill, thanks.
Thanks.
Tim Stiller sticks around. Jim Nintzel joins us telephonically. He can't get away from his work. He's very busy downtown with the Tucson Weekly and all his other portfolio of publications.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 ocean and beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at mosgallery.com.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Now we begin our roundtable portion of the program. We always begin with our Friday Focus interview. Today it was Fletcher McCusker. Tim Steller is with me in studio, columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Jim Nintzel, executive editor of the Tucson Weekly, on the live line. Jim, how are you? How is your week going, your first full week of 2019?
It's going great down here, Bill. It's a very exciting week. We've got a new staff robot we've introduced down here at Tucson Local Media that's helping us with a lot of projects where we're not quite sure what all it's going to do. And we also have some virtual reality goggles in here. So it's really the newsroom of the future. You know, the future begins tomorrow at Tucson Local Media.
Hey, I want to ask you about the skinny. You were talking about education. I talked to David Bradley, senator, who is now the – Tucson has the little bit of juice in the Senate because Senator Bradley, Jim, as you know, is the Senate minority leader. And I brought that up about what you were talking about in the skinny, that the public does not want education to go back to be a back burner issue, which it was for many years. Last year it became a front burner issue, but some folks were worried this year it's going to be pushed back again. Some of your thoughts?
Well, I mean, it's certainly possible it will. I think there's plenty of Republican lawmakers who say, hey, look at what we've given you, you know, with the money that came from the busting into the state land trust and then the raises. I think they're going to be saying, oh, we put all this money in it, and they just never stop asking for more. But it's clear, at least from the survey that we talked about in the skinny this week, that voters across the political spectrum are interested in seeing more investment in education. They still feel the schools are underfunded, that the classes are overcrowded, and that teachers aren't earning enough money. And I think the voters are right about that. And so, you know, there's definitely going to be a push from Democrats We'll see where Governor Ducey comes down on any of it. It's a very split chamber, as you've been talking about on your program, so there's certainly an opportunity for education advocates, if they can peel off a couple of Republicans, to see more funding. It's actually going to be pretty fascinating just to watch the whole process unfold at the legislature because of that narrow majority and exactly how things go. It's going to be a lot harder to do just Republican-only budgets or other legislation as a result of that narrow split. And there's a lot more money coming in as a result of the federal taxes, and a whole bunch of people are going to be fighting over what to do with that.
Yep. I am. We were talking last week with Karen Fan, as Bill mentioned, the Senate president, and Dylan Smith asked her about whether she would do another into the night, overnight budget process. And she insisted she was not going to, but honestly, I will believe that when I see it. I mean, the likelihood is they'll be cobbling together alliances behind the scenes late into the night and then pushing through budget bills as always, don't you think?
Yeah, you know, that's you bring up a really good point, because in the olden days, of course, when they worked out budgets, what they would do is people would actually come and testify in front of the Appropriations Committee, and they'd say, hey, my department needs this much for this work or whatever. I mean, there'd be a pretty open process of conversation about how to craft a budget, and over time that became increasingly done behind closed doors, or a deal was made behind closed doors and then rushed out, and it's really become the way of doing things now, where they just completely do it behind closed doors and then come out and say, hey, we've got 3 days to push this thing through, and we're not going to really take any testimony at all. And I think that's a poor way of doing business, and I would hope that we'd see a little bit of a change in that, but I'll believe it when I see it.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll know right away, because they'll be holding those hearings very soon, if they're going to do it at all, in the various, not just appropriations, but I would assume all the committees. Don't the various departments traditionally take their spending requests to the applicable committee, like to the Education Committee or what have you?
Well, I think it more moves through APROPS, because APROPS, is the one that ends up drawing up the budget, but I'm sure a lot of legislation moves through a lot of different committees.
Jim Nentzel is with us on the phone. Tim Steller is with me in studio. And, of course, one thing I like about the city elections being in the so-called off-year, off-presidential year election or congressional election, the even-year elections, I like the fact that now those of us in the media have certainly something extra to talk about. Yeah. This time around, we really do.
And also, absolutely. And also, they don't get lost. So many of those little initiatives, city initiatives and such, got just buried at the bottom of the ballot this last election. But as we were just talking about with Fletcher McCusker, as the interview ended, we will now have not just a mayor seat, but two council seats coming up in the city of Tucson this year. The outcome could have a pretty significant effect on city government, because we'll have obviously Jonathan Rothschild is stepping down
aside
as mayor after his term.
Shirley Scott
is leaving office on the southeast side, and now Regina Romero has announced that she's running for mayor, which means she will be leaving her Ward 1 council seat at the end of the term, whatever happens with her run for mayor.
So, Jim, what's your take on the Regina Romero and Steve Farley race? And there probably will be some other candidates coming in, and a name I keep hearing, and Randy Dorman responded to me on Facebook saying that she's had a lot of interest in her campaign, or possible campaign, that she's seriously considering it. So what's your take, Jim Nentzel?
Well, at the moment, it seems kind of like our own little Beto versus AOC race developing here. You've got two candidates who are both... I think if you take a look at Jonathan Rothschild, Jonathan certainly had liberal tendencies, particularly on the social work side of things, with the efforts he's made on behalf of the homeless, the efforts he's made on behalf of education, and similar initiatives in terms of social services and whatnot. But he also really came from a business background. The guy was a corporate lawyer for many years, and I think he spoke a language of business that neither Democrat who's getting into this race at this point really has the background and experience with. I wouldn't say either one is anti-business, but or anywhere near that. But I would say that neither of them have the same kind of depth of knowledge of understanding, the business community's needs.
Go ahead.
Oh, so I think you're going to see, a shifting of a feeling of the business community's not going to be super comfortable with either of these candidates compared to where they were with Jonathan Rothschild. So you're going to see a change in direction, I think, at City Hall, no matter who comes out of this race. But I think what you have is two candidates who are both really super capable and have name ID and super capable, at least on the campaign trail, and both have high name ID, and it's going to be a real drawn-out fight. But at this point, female voters are probably the majority of voters in a Democratic primary, and certainly Democrats are leaning more towards fresh faces, younger faces, and minority faces. So I would say that Raina Romero, on paper, has the advantage as this race gets off the ground, but I wouldn't. I would say it's up for grabs.
Yes, absolutely. Coincidentally, speaking of the business approach, I was talking to Councilmember Romero this morning, and she said, people don't realize this, but my voting record on business-related council business is exactly the same as Jonathan Rothschild. She was essentially defending herself from the critique, without me even spontaneously defending herself from the idea that she is somehow anti-business
Yeah, and I think that's something that she's acutely aware of, that the criticism that she's anti-business is she's acutely aware of, and it has worked to, as Tim just said, to set up a voting record at least that represents a pro-business.
Well, another interesting thing that came out of Rahina's announcement was that Cody Ritchie is, I believe, a co-chairman or somehow involved in her campaign.
Yeah,
he of course is of Crest Insurance, well-known face in the business community and in general community affairs here in Tucson. I also spoke with him earlier today, and yeah, he's a Republican, and that gives her kind of protects that flank to have him so prominently in her camp.
Yeah, definitely third-party validation on that front.
So you have two very, with Raina Romero and Steve Farley, good name recognition. Both candidates, it's safe to say, have a very loyal following. Does that open up an opportunity for kind of a fresh face like a Randy Dorman?
No.
It does.
That's
not,
what I'm saying.
In your opinion.
Yeah. I mean, okay. Fletcher was saying he thought maybe so, but I personally don't think so. I think these are two strong Democratic candidates, and one of them is likely to win.
Okay. Jim?
I would say if Randy gets in the race, that accrues towards Steve in terms of helping him in terms of how the vote will split. But, I think, again, we hold elections so that we can see who comes out at the end of the day, who the voters pick, although it's always fun to handicap ahead of time.
Will the Republicans put up somebody to run for mayor?
I hope so. I mean, it's tough. Obviously, in this town, it's really tough. That's why I mentioned Fred Ronstadt's name, because he not only was a council member, but he is named Ronstadt and is a Republican. Mm-hmm. So he's one of the few people who I could think of who would have a chance. We need the competition.
Weren't you talking, Tim Stellar, about Bruce Wheeler, former state lawmaker and former Tucson City Councilman, as a possible candidate last week?
Yeah, we were talking about it. We brought it up.
But isn't he?
I think you brought it up, actually.
Actually, I did. But he is going to be taking an extended time away out of the country. So
that's right. He's out of it. Yeah, he's definitely not interested. He was blown away by the whole idea that he'd run again for mayor.
Jim Nitzel.
Bruce called me to let me know that he's not in the running.
Yeah, he was happy and excited to tell everybody I am not running.
Who is emerging in Ward 1, which will have now a new council person?
Well, I mentioned three names in the column today. Sami Hamed is a pretty well-known Democratic activist. He's run for legislature before. He's a guy about town. I guess he has some role in Justice of the Peace Court in small claims cases these days. Somebody was telling me that.
Where's his backing coming from?
He is being supported by Daniel Hernandez and his sister Alma, who are now both legislators. Mm-hmm. Then there's Miguel Ortega, West Side activist, was a chief of staff to Karen Ulick, and has been active in Barrio Hollywood, although he corrected me today. He does not actually live in Barrio Hollywood.
Walking
distance. Adjacent to
it. Said he's within 5 minutes of
And then very seriously considering it is Lane Santa Cruz, who is a staff member of Councilmember Romero, and if she chooses to get in, she would definitely have the nod of the council member. So she would have not just the council member, but probably, you know, the Grijalva team backing her.
Jim?
And Miguel, you know, so I think of those two, Sammy and Lane are the Democrats. And then Miguel's an independent, but I don't know if he would switch back to the Democratic Party.
Boy, I would think that would be to his advantage not to be a Democrat, because it's going to be a tough field among Democrats
in the primary.
Yeah.
How about on the southeast side, Shirley Scott's ward?
The only one I know of is Republican Michael Hicks. You know any other names, Jim?
I haven't heard any dropped yet, but I'm sure, given the Democratic advantage in this town, we'll see somebody jump into that race.
All right. It's going to be a very interesting run. What's coming up in your column this Sunday, Tim?
Well, it was convenient that I was here to talk with Fletcher because I'm writing about downtown development and incentives and whether they're needed anymore.
Do you think they are?
I'm questioning it. I mean, Fletcher said that, you know, they still do tax abatement and incentives are basically their business. But I guess what I'm working through is whether it has a distorting effect on the economy downtown, you know, raising rents and property values beyond what they would naturally do. In other words, if you get people in that are the bigger, higher priced property owners or tenants by giving them incentives, then does that not affect everybody around them in a kind of unnatural way?
Okay, Jim Nintzel, what's in the weekly real quickly?
Oh, this week, you know, we have the skinny column, as you mentioned earlier, with a little talk about education, and then some interesting stuff about the ACC, the Corporation Commission, and, you know, Bob Burns has become chair over there, and that's bad news for Arizona Public Service. After I wrote the column, actually, the ACC announced that it was going to review a rate increase that they gave to APS last year with a different makeup of the Corporation Commission, so we can already see why APS did not want to see Bob Burns become chair. But the other question is their participation in elections and what they've been doing there, and that's going to be real interesting.
That's a big deal. I'm glad you're covering that.
Jim Nintzel, the Tucson Weekly. Thanks, Jim, and a happy New Year to you and your lovely family. All the best to you.
Same to you and your listeners.
Thanks, and Tim Steller, always good to see you. Thanks,
good
Tim.
Good seeing you, Bill.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Stir it up, baby. Let's get into Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Our friends over there say to our Tucson friends, give us a try. We're only a 3-hour drive from your lovely metropolis over to Silver City. Get away in the Gila National Forest. Hang out in historic Silver City. southwestnewmexico.org for the complete listing of the many great places to stay and so many recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. So many culinary opportunities, what we're going to talk about with Weekend Watch. Inside Tucson business food and beverage columnist, award-winning Tucson publicist, Mr. Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
I am doing just beautifully. Ready for a happy hour, though. It's Friday, Bill.
Yeah, we're always ready for a happy hour. Do you have any suggestions for the Buckmaster Show tribe?
I absolutely do. You know, my wife Nancy and I met up with some friends last night at Sidecar, that fun retro-style cocktail bar just off of Broadway near Country Club, and we were taken on a spirituous tour of the 1930s.
Wow.
You know, this cocktail menu is categorized by style, from drinks that are frothy and shaken to those that are dark and stirred, like the one I had last night called the Rye Hanky Panky, which is now in the running for my new favorite cocktail. Happy hour is today from 3 to 6 p.m. with $2 off select Sidecar cocktails, draft beer, and wine by the glass. I say let the cocktailing commence.
And again, the location for Sidecar?
Absolutely, right there on 9th Street, right near 4th Avenue.
Okay, another opening. It's another show and another Weekend Watch opening.
The local restaurant opening news desk is busy again. The opening of Charo Del Rey, the newest concept in the Flores family of eateries that started, of course, with El Charo back in 1922. Now, Charo Del Rey, which is downtown on Broadway next to their sister restaurant, Charo Steak, it's anchored by fresh, sustainable seafood, from oysters to lobster, from halibut to branzino, as well as all-natural prime rib and chicken and many more. Who says you can't find fresh, sustainable seafood in the Sonoran Desert? We'll see you at Charo Del Rey this weekend.
Well, we were so impressed with the Bustos Media Party, which was held at Charo Steak. What a fine job they do. Everybody just was so amenable to serving a terrific meal. I'm excited about now this seafood opening. So this is terrific. What else is coming up, Matt?
Well, a big congrats to our friends at Revel Wine and Beer Bar on 9th Street on their second anniversary, and there's a huge celebration happening tomorrow starting at 1 p.m. with complimentary wine tasting until 6 o'clock. Every hour on the hour, they'll switch up the theme, starting with California wines, then moving to Burgundy, Spain, Rhone, and Bubbles, all followed by a special anniversary party that starts at 8 p.m. Enjoy the wines of the world tomorrow, free of charge at Revel, and I should say, I need a correction, Sidecar is actually located just off of Broadway, right near Country Club. Sort of mix that up with Revel. You know, Sidecar, Revel, Great Libation Places has me a little bit confused.
give our listeners an update on this this cruise that's coming up, and you've teamed up with all of our good friends over at Bon Voyage Travel. Tell us, what's the latest on it?
Yeah, so in October, the last 2 weeks of October, we are going to be taking a culinary and cocktail cruise through the Amalfi Coast to Italy, over to the Greek Isles, a part of the world that I've never been to. And when we sat down with our friends at Bon Voyage, they really thought of everything. They knew this had to be a food and beverage-driven experience for our guests, and they have thought of everything in terms of the excursions and all of the onboard activities. We are going to be enjoying a culinary and cocktail experience of a lifetime. It's round trip from Rome to Rome, 11 nights. All the information, bvtravel.com/Matt Russell. Bill, the response has been overwhelming. Inventory continues to be added for our group because we continue to sign up guests. Your listeners are coming along. It is going to be the cruise of a lifetime. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I know personally several of my listeners are taking the cruise, including our CPA, Michael C. Flowers, and his lovely wife will be involved. So there will be a Buckmaster contingent for sure, Matt Russell.
So much looking forward to it, Bill.
Thanks, Matt. Have a great weekend, my friend.
Cheers.
All right, Matt Russell, our host of Weekend Watch. Matt's been with us since day one of the program on Buckmaster. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, wholly responsible for the content of the program. Original theme music composed by Chris Stefan. Thanks to Rosemary Brandt, my assistant, everyone here at Bustos Media and KVOI, including Ray Allen, operations manager, and this week, my engineer and producer, and all of my friends here, the people in the back office, as they say, who are so supportive of what we do. It's a great team. We've got Steve Rivera coming up. His show, very popular sports show now here in town. Eye on the Ball for 2 hours of sports. On behalf of everybody at Buckmaster and Bustos Media, have a great weekend.